Our speaker this morning, first one, is Pastor Atul from Mumbai, India. So here he is. Here we go. Pastor Atul is Pastor Carl's assistant, who we just heard from on the audio, which really touched our hearts. I could not imagine a greater believer like what he said. Wasn't that amazing? And we'll do something with that so that you have access to that, because I think that's classic. That's just a piece of history that you shouldn't go unheard, unknown, but that is it. You know, that's it. That's the high point. That's the high watermark for the Christian life, what we heard. And so maybe we'll get the DVD or post it on the internet, but we want you to have that. That was amazing. Okay, Pastor Atul.
Good morning. And it's a privilege to be here this morning. And haven't we had an amazing convention? What an amazing time. And thank you, Pastor Shala, Pastor Shibeli, and every one of those people who just labored behind the scenes and made this possible. We don't see it, but we know behind the scenes a lot of prayer and a lot of people working. And so just want to thank you all for making this possible. Just one verse this morning. In Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17, it says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you this morning. Thank you, God, for your presence here. Thank you for the body of Christ. Lord, thank you that in your presence there is fullness of joy. We ask you to speak to our hearts this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, I was, before this video went up, I was thinking of this verse and thinking of Pastor himself, right? And this part of the verse, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance forever. And when you think of this verse, it's something on the inside that is causing this outward quietness. There is something going on the inside. And, you know, yesterday Pastor Morrison said this line that we have something that can never be compared. And that's the righteousness of God. And it's that righteousness of God that was given to us the moment we believed that can help us withstand no matter what comes across. And I know I see Pastor living this verse right now in Mumbai. And, you know, there are things happening. And outwardly we see his health and different things, but we don't ever see like a sadness on his face. There's always a smile. You know, he's always smiling. And sometimes you think, Lord, you know, I think it's because of what he said, in the end we win. It's that assurance. It's that assurance forever, the quietness and the assurance forever, that in the end we win. And there is a peace that God gives us in the midst of what's going on. Yes, in his life, but also in our lives, God gives us that supernatural peace. And I was reading this somewhere. There was a contest of paintings. And people were asked to describe peace in their painting. And there was one painting which was made, which had a beautiful house right on the ocean. And there were, like, you could see the dolphins jumping, and there are cars in the pathway, and there is a greenery, and there are mountains, and there is sunshine, and there is a great family, and they're all playing together. And, you know, it's a beautiful picture. And there was another picture that was made, which was like black mountain top, and, you know, dark clouds and lightning, and there is a little bit of rain happening, and it's a dark picture. But in the middle of that rock, somewhere down inside, is a small little bird that's whistling. It's a picture that's made. And on the outside, we can think of this big picture and we can say, this looks so peaceful. But on that side, we look at that picture and we say, there is a storm, there is a cloud, there is lightning, and all those things happening. But there is a small little bird that's whistling. And that's that inner peace, that's that inner confidence, that's inner assurance that we have when we believe in Christ. Because our life is not lived on the circumstances around us. It's lived by what God is doing inside us. And that gives us that assurance, that gives us that confidence and that peace. In Job chapter 34, verse 29, he says, "When he gives me quietness, then who can make trouble?" When he gives me quietness, then who can make trouble? And, you know, two messages I was thinking about this convention. One was Pastor Shalas when he said, face down. Moses went face down. And then Pastor Ronaldo said, surrender. And I was thinking of that, those two pictures. I'm on my face down, but also my hands are up. I'm on my face down, but at the same time, my hands are up. And that's a great picture for a believer. When we understand the work of God, when we understand the grace of God, the righteousness of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, then that's our life story. Like, so much of life is by the visible, you know. And David experienced that. David showed us how to live that in a way where there is a situation with Saul, there is a situation with the Philistine, there is Absalom, there is all those things happening, but you find him in Ziklag, his face is down. He's encouraging himself in the Lord. Like, what people say doesn't matter. What the Lord says, that's the significance. And that's the work of righteousness. Peace, there's confidence, there's quietness in my heart. And, you know, the work, you can just keep in a prayer, the work that goes on in India, and especially for Pastor. And, you know, we are just trusting God, believing, and we know what God is going to do. And no matter what, you know, we're going to go forward, right? And, you know, and just in closing, it's, you know, 14 years ago, when I came to this ministry, I was taken into a Bible college class, not knowing it's a Bible college class, because I was resisting going to Bible school. And the person who was discipling me knew that, and he took me in. And there was a TV screen there, and he said, you know, you won't get much out of this, but if you get one line, it's enough. And he said, but just when the person is quoting the Bible, just write down those verses for your reference. And I said, okay. And in 40 minutes, Dr. Stevens quoted 55 verses. And no one was writing except me, because they were all thinking about, and I was scribbling verses. But it put a thought in my mind. It's like the value that God puts on his word. And isn't it amazing that we are taught this so clearly, so openly, and so deeply? And when we are taught that way, then this verse comes alive. When the word goes in, the effect of righteousness, there is quietness and there is assurance. No matter what happens, you know. In Mark 4, there is a great storm. There are great waves. There is a great wind. But how about a great Jesus in the boat? Right? Everyone, the disciples looked at the great outside, but there's a great Jesus on the inside. And that's what we look for, and that's who we are. Amen? Amen. Amen.
All right, our next speaker this morning comes from the great city of London, Pastor Tony Morley. Yeah.
Good morning. It's good to be with you. I'd like to thank also Pastor Shala, Pastor Shabelli, and all the team here, and it's been the best convention ever. Quite a few years ago, my wife and I were sent to London by this church when we're members of this church, and it's always so good to be home with the family. And you are family. I leave this afternoon, but you're in my heart. There's been a verse we've gone to again and again all week, haven't we? And of course, it's Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. And we've been told again and again to seek those things that are above. And I've been thinking all week about this word seek. It's just been in my mind over and over again, the word seek. And I was also thinking this, 1 John 4:19, we hear this verse many times because it's a wonderful verse, that we love him because he first loved us. we love him. And that love is a seeking love, isn't it? Love doesn't seek its own. God's love doesn't seek its own, but it seeks the other. It seeks the lost. It seeks the needy. It seeks someone to love, to bless, to minister to serve. And so I've been thinking about God seeking love. John 4:23, the Father is always seeking. He's seeking those to worship him. And we were created to be worshipers, right? We were created. We are fulfilling our created design when we are worshipers of God, when our focus is on him, who's the essence of everything that's beautiful in the universe. And then in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says that the Son is also a seeker. The Son is seeking those that are lost. And the word actually is a very strong word. It's the word zetio, and it means to run after, to pursue, to go after, to fervently seek after, whatever the cost. And what a great cost, of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ. The cost of him seeking the lost was his own blood, wasn't it? His own life. And I was very blessed this week to hear that one speaker mentioned that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, that word that says that we are to seek those things that are above is the same word, zetio. It's the same thing. And I was thinking about this, therefore, we seek him who seeks us. Now, if we're Christians here, so the Lord sought us out, didn't he? We weren't worthy, we weren't deserving, we weren't better than anybody else. Maybe we weren't even seeking God. But he sought us out. But I believe he's still seeking us. He's seeking us day after day, isn't he? He's pursuing us. He's calling on us to a deeper intimacy and fellowship day after day. And because he seeks us, we seek him. You say, well, I sought him and found him 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. But I believe the Christian life is a kind of a circular motion where God is constantly seeking us, and therefore we are constantly seeking him. We are seeking him as he seeks us. And it's a beautiful thing. David understood this in Psalm 27, verse 4. He said this, one thing have I desired of the Lord. He didn't get distracted about many things, did he? He was a very focused man, wasn't he? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek. You're here in church this morning. We're at this wonderful convention, which is just still going on, right? We come to church week after week. We get on our knees and we pray. We lift our hands and we worship God. Because we're seekers. Because we're being sought. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord, which of course is the church for us. All the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. And to inquire in his temple. Again, the temple is the church of Christ, isn't it? But what a beautiful thing. Why was David seeking God? Because he wanted to see and behold and gaze on the beauty of the Lord. It's not changed, has it? It's no different for us, is it? Why are we seeking God? Why are we seeking him as he seeks us? Because we want to behold the beauty. Oh, and the beauty. A preacher could spend hours and hours and hours speaking of the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could think about him and think about him for hours and consider the beauty. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ is purity, beauty, perfection. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? We have this promise in Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 17. It is an amazing promise. Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. Isn't that a great verse? Your eyes will see the King in his beauty. For me, this is one of the most magnificent verses in the Bible. The day is coming. I mean, the Bible says we love him, although we have not seen him. Physically, of course. But the day is coming, maybe soon. Many people think it could be fairly soon. When these physical eyes of ours will look upon the King in his beauty. And we will say, oh, I loved him when I couldn't see him physically. He loved me first. He pursued me first. So I pursued him and I loved him. But oh, now I see him. Oh, how I love him. It's amazing, isn't it? But even now, before we physically look upon him face to face, which that day will come, we can see him by faith, can't we? Through the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Word of God, we can look upon him. And like it says in Hebrews chapter 10:27, that Moses endured, and he endured a lot, didn't he? His circumstances were tough, weren't they? But he said he endured as seeing him who is invisible. If he looked around him, his circumstances were not good, not edifying, not encouraging. His situation was pretty awful. But he wasn't focused on his situation, was he? He was focused on the beauty of the Lord, on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was able to endure, and it's no different for us, as seeing him by faith through the Holy Spirit, revealing us Jesus in the Word of God, we're able to endure as seeing him who is faithful. He's seeing him in all his beauty. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, of course, says that we're running this race, and it's a lifetime marathon, isn't it? It's not a short race, it's a lifetime race. But we're running this race with our focus. It says, fixing our gaze in the original, gazing upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his beauty. You know, I found a couple of wonderful promises to seekers. I mean, there are many, but I'll just share a couple. Jeremiah 29 and verse 12. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Well, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me. And we're seeking him because he's seeking us, right? We're loving him because he's first loving us. And you will seek me and find me. And when you search for me with all your heart. Isn't that beautiful? What a promise. You will seek for me. You will seek me and you will find me. How frustrating it would be if we were seeking God and not finding him. Imagine that. There are millions in this world in all kinds of religions seeking after God, they believe, and not finding him. How frustrating. But what joy that we seek him and find him. And then at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that great? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I'm just going to close in a couple of minutes, but I've thought a lot about this week. In what way is he a rewarder? As we have together all week long, we've been seeking him. That's what we've been doing in the worship. That's what we've been doing as we've been listening to the Word of God together. That's what we've been doing as we've been assembling and edifying one another all week. And this has been the most edifying convention ever. Maybe it's because I'm different to a year ago. But what have you been doing as you've been seeking God? I was thinking about this. How, in what way is he a rewarder? Well, you could say he rewards us with peace, and he rewards us with joy, and he rewards us with contentment, and he rewards us with purpose, and all that is true. But I think the greatest reward is himself, isn't it? I think he really wants his children to come to the place where we're not just seeking blessing. We're not just seeking peace or joy or contentment or purpose or guidance or strength. But he says, do I have children that are seeking me? Because if you go back to Colossians chapter 3, we're seeking those things that are above. Well, who is above supremely? It's the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? And we seek him. And this is the supreme calling and purpose of our lives here in this, on the earth, to seek Him who is beautiful, to seek Him who is our Savior, to seek Him who is our life. And you know, the beautiful thing, the wonderful thing about it is when we seek Him, we get everything else. We're not so much thinking about internal peace, but we seek Him who is beautiful, who is our God and our Savior. And what happens? Like Pastor Atul was saying, we have that internal peace. And we're not so much seeking joy, but we're seeking Christ, the beautiful one, and we have that joy. And we're not so much seeking purpose in life, we're seeking Christ, the beautiful one, who is altogether beautiful to us. And we find everything is in Him, isn't it? Everything is in Him. And just the very last thing is this. I was thinking about John 14:21, and this is my last verse. John 14:21. This is, again, a wonderful promise. And I was reading this a couple of weeks ago, and I was very struck by it. Jesus said this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me," but I mean, he loved us before we were saved, right? John 3:16. We were loved. But it says, "He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Now, before I was even saved, he loved me. So in what sense is he going to love me? Didn't he already love me? He always loved me. Yes, he always loved me enough to die for me. But there's a sense here, isn't there, that as I seek him, which is an act of my will, don't have to. No one forced you to come to church this morning, right? No one forces you to pray. No one forces you to worship. But as we seek him who is altogether beautiful, says this, "I will love him and manifest myself to him." Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Aren't they wonderful promises? I'm so glad that Jesus Christ loved me enough to die for me, but I'm also very glad that he's loving me day by day. It's a circular thing, isn't it? He seeks me, so I seek him. He loves me, I love him. And this is growing as we go through our lives. It's wonderful, isn't it? We have a wonderful Savior, don't we? We have a wonderful, wonderful Savior. He loves us and we love him. Amen. Thank you.
All right, would you stand? And would you say to your neighbor or someone near you, God bless you, and have a great year.
Okay. Now tonight, I don't want to forget that just to share with the music group, if it's possible, that Pastor Neil would do a little bit of song leading tonight, right, Pastor? He's like all music in his whole manner, and he's a musician, and wow, it'd be great, okay? And then also, can you share the word too? Tonight. Are you leaving today? Okay, good. Then tonight, okay. I would like to just speak to your hearts from what we heard from Pastor Carl and Pastor Atul and Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony, that was awesome. That was awesome. Really. So turn in your Bibles while you are standing. Can you turn there, please, to Job chapter 1. And the sentence I want to leave you with is, it seems to me that God is such a way that when he makes a person with freedom, that he tests the freedom. He tests us with what we really want. It seems that he can't just make a creature without asking them, putting them in a place where, and asking them to make a decision. It seems like when we go through the Bible, that when we go to the highest level, Lucifer, it seems that Lucifer was tested. And he was the most wise and the most beautiful creature of God. And it seems that it's very important to God that that happens. You know, it seems, isn't it? And because he wants the relationship. And the relationship really isn't there unless it is tested. All right? So that's what I want to speak about for a few minutes this morning. And I'm so happy for all the Baltimore folks that are in the church here this morning. And this is your regular church service. We've had a great week at our convention and have heard a lot. And we're taking home a lot. I'm going to have you... instead of reading this right now, I'd like, if you're traveling today, stay standing and everybody else sit down. Okay, let's see, Brian in Ohio, Dan and his wife go to Arizona, is it? New Mexico, thank you for being here all. And then you go to Kyrgyzstan sometime or no? Eventually, okay. This couple, I want everybody to know them, they're just... your name is too hard for me to, yeah, she, like from the church in Kyrgyzstan, Daniel, and they married, and they are a great couple. Daniel said he heard Pastor Shibeli preaching, he said, I got to go to Baltimore and meet Pastor Shibeli. And here he is, just so awesome. Tony is going to Switzerland. Helena back to Finland, Chris, Las Vegas, Pesatier, Textier, Paris, Lydia, Montreal, Pastor Gary, Dover Plains, I can't see that far. What? This couple here. Yeah, Mamo and Rita, Finland. Well, maybe, should I keep going? Pastor Monty and Ghani, Kyrgyzstan, Oman, Pastor Don. The couple behind you, Pastor Don. Massachusetts, okay. Massachusetts, Pastors Steve, Korea, Finland. Matt, where are you going? Finland, awesome. Robin, Maine, Mexico. Poland, France. Sorry if I missed you. Thank you so much. Pastor Mike and Barbara. Okay. One old man was dying, and he had been at odds with Bill, who was one of his friends, but they had a fallout. And Joe thought, I can't die without saying to Bill, I forgive him, or please forgive me. So he called him over And he came over and he said, reluctantly, with great effort, Joe apologized for all the things he said and done. He also assured Bill that he forgave him for everything. Everything seemed fine until Bill turned to go out the door. He said, as he walked out of the room, Joe called out. He said, but remember, if I get better, this doesn't count. Okay. Can you imagine God having us and not being the relationship? If we could draw a little diagram, here's God. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, a verse that I'm curious about, it says the Spirit knows the deep things of God. So I thought all things about God were deep, but it is the Holy Spirit that knows the deep things of God. Christ said it this way, nobody knows the Father but the Son, and nobody knows the Son but the Father. Same in this story, you have Joe, and he's saying all the right words to Bill. I forgive you, and so on and on and on and on and on and on. But if I get better, it doesn't count. Yeah, we can see this in ourselves. And our joy is to find that God is serious about everything he has said. Our joy is to find that God is real through and through in the deepest and most important sense. So wouldn't it be really important to God that the depths of man would be connected with the depths of God? And when we heard Pastor Carl this morning say those words, our hearts resonate with desire and love and faith and say, I hope I can be like that also. Because he said that this is God's plan. The devil is doing it, but God is using the devil. The devil has attacked my health. This is what he said. And then you kind of sense it is all right because God, the devil is God's devil, in the words of Martin Luther. That means that God and the devil have nothing to do with each other in terms of nature. The devil must be serving God in his sovereignty because no one is greater than God. The devil cannot decide things without God's permission. And so we have in the book of Job. I just want to say a few things. God and the Trinity, amazing connection of character with three. God and Lucifer. God made Lucifer with so many talents and beauty, but I cannot help but say or think Lucifer did not know God. I don't know. Did he know God? You may say, Pastor, he must have known God. He was the wisest of them. He was in the very presence. He was functioning in the very presence of God. He knew God. We say, yeah, of course, in one sense. But when he was tested, it really didn't come across like he didn't really know. It wasn't like when he was tested, that there was this, like Pastor Shibley said the other night about Abraham. When Abraham was tested and God said, give me your son, Abraham did it willingly,
And it seems there wasn't a question in the nature, in the heart of Abraham. Abraham was tested. We have Adam and Eve are tested. We have God and Job, where we see the scene behind the scene. And that's worth our study and our attention. Then we have God and we have Abraham. Everyone in the scripture that has this promotion that comes from God, we see it with many of them. We have God and David is tested. And then we have, go forward to God and Jesus Christ is tested. Move forward and you have God and you and me are tested. When we heard from Pastor Carl, it sounded clearly that we win. I trust him, he and his wife Susie. The Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, and we say, that's it. It must be very hard. Part of us says, it must be very hard. We have so much respect for these people, but don't we also understand when you touch the core of God, you find God, you actually are finding grace. You are finding the nature of God and his love, the deep love, the agape love that is able to endure all things, believe all things, hope all things. And when it is in our nature, it just becomes something that we relate to joyfully. We say, there it is, that's it, that's what I want, that's it, I love that. That's why during the week we saw the faces and heard the hearts of people that are resonating in our lives. That yes, I have been tested a little bit. Yes, I have trusted in God. And somehow I have a sense in my life that I know him. This is our privilege, our joy, that we know him. Hosea 6:2, that we know him. Jeremiah 9:23, that we would know him. But it takes what we read in the story, that joke with Bill, Joe and Bill. It's when Bill is going out the door and instead you say, Bill, I really mean it. We are friends forever. It's you and me. I forgive you. I don't know. I forgive you. And I mean it. I have decided to mean it. I have decided to believe this. This is what I believe. This is how I think. This is what I want. This is relationship. Relationships that can take a tumble. Relationships that can take a beating. There is a beating. We see it in every life I have on the list. We see it. Lucifer could not take the beating. And there's nothing in the Bible that tells us like what really happened with God and Lucifer in heaven. We don't see it. But we see a little reflection of it in the book of Job. Because Satan talks. And whenever somebody speaks, you get to hear their heart. And Satan speaks before God, and we hear in his words, like his limitations. Satan says this. He said, God, you know why Job is worshiping you? Because you do everything nice to him. Because you treat him so well. Of course he worships you. Anybody would And let me add my little part here. And by the way, when I was in heaven with you, you treated me so good. And I, when you treated me good, I loved you and I worshiped you and I obeyed you. But you know, God, what happened. When you took away from me my stuff, when you took away from me my glory, or you took away, or you suggested that I might lose my power, my influence, or my wisdom, then I could not understand that. I could not digest that. And God could say, yes, you could not digest it because you don't really know me. Because if you really knew me, you would trust me. Fast forward, Christ is in the world. His stuff is gone. His honor, his everything is all gone. He's a fool. It says it in the scripture that it looks like Christ on the cross is a fool. What does Christ do? He endures with loyalty. He endures with faith. He endures because he knows the Father. We must graduate to a level where we say, no matter what happens to me, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. Or in the story, Lucifer goes like this, and you see the ceiling of his mentality. His ceiling is this: oh God, you take his stuff away, I guarantee you he will curse you. Why does he speak? Because he's seeing it through his satanic eyes. That's his satanic mentality. You hurt me, I will hate you. You take my stuff away, I will hate you. You don't listen to me, I will react to you. You don't do it my way, I will not accept you. That is the satanic mentality that is in the heart and mind of people. People, here's something interesting about the end times. Just a side note, we'll just be a few minutes. But it says in Matthew 24, the love of many will get cold. Okay, here's love, and now comes cold love or cold hearts. The hearts of many will wax cold. How does it happen? Here's the way it goes. We're in the year 2015. How does love get cold? Here it is. Sin makes people hard. Love gets cold because of sin. If sin increases in the nation, the hearts of people get colder. And if sin is everywhere promoted, and it is, of all kinds, whether we're talking sexual sin, dishonesty in business, pride, self-love, whatever, you will find hearts cold. There was a time in the United States when we got around by hitchhiking. This was in the 70s, late 60s, 70s, probably many of us did it. People would pick us up, they were very friendly, we were very trusting, they were trusting. Hitchhiking was a way of life in the United States, then not anymore. We don't trust people anymore. We don't trust our neighbors anymore. We don't trust even people that we know in the church, we may not even trust them. Why is there little trust? It is because there is more and more of this. Well, it has always been wrong, but in our culture, recognize it's not going to get warmer, it's going to get colder. So the answer to sin is God. This is the test. God. If God calls us to himself, like we see in the testings, they get sweeter. When you are tested and you know God, Pastor Carl and Susie are a good example. There is sweetness, there is kindness, there is growth, there is the knowledge of God. And in the book of Job, if you go to the end, it's very fascinating. We brought it up before, but I'll just finish with this. In the end of Job, think of this. He has 10 children, and the only names he gives of his children in 42:14 are three girls' names. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Karen Hapuk. Why 3 girls' names? It's always been in my mind that he, you know, Jewish people, and we don't really know, Job might not have been Jewish because it was before Abraham, perhaps. But in any case, he was a man of God. And in the ancient world, a man's name was more important than a girl's name. How many sons do you have? That number is more important than how many daughters do you have. But in this, it's reversed. Job has 7 sons, 3 daughters, and let me give you the names of the 3 girls. Why? Because I think he became more tender, more kind, more gentle, more gracious, more broken, more in tune with the nature of God, more of a servant, more honoring the others, looking for the weakest member, caring for the person that has a great need. I think when we get to know God, this is what happens in our life. And religious people often become hard people and cold people because in the test, they don't make it, they back off, and they have their system and their program and their knowledge. We had that message the other night, and it is that people have understanding, but no, they have knowledge, but where is the heart? Remember that? Balaam had right knowledge, but no heart. Lucifer had some knowledge. He has some knowledge, but in the test, he did not know God. And when he said, comes to take and eat up Job, God said, have you noticed my servant Job? And Satan said, yeah, I know the whole story. I know the whole story. You touch his stuff, he'll curse you. God said, go ahead. You know who? Like, it's like playing a card game. Ante up. Throw your stuff in there. Oh, really? Okay. I'm going to bet my house. I'm putting my whole thing in there. I'm going to put everything in there. I know I'm winning. And this is what Satan did with God. He threw all his stuff in there. He said, Job will curse you to the face. Why? Because Lucifer sees reality only through those eyes. That's what he believes. But then he's shocked that Job has another story because he touches the inside of God. He touches God, and he knows God. And he says, though he slay me, I will trust him. I know my Redeemer liveth. Though even after my body, worms will eat my body, but in the latter day I shall stand upon the earth, and in my flesh I shall see God. I know God. Satan is shocked again. Christ comes. He's on the cross. Curse God and die. Christ says, Father, forgive them. You see, God comes into the world. God comes in our relationship. God is seen. Not like our hard, cold religion. And you might say, yeah, I know. It's, you know, the church is phony. Yeah, the church, I know all about it. I'll never go to one again. And I've seen the empty, shallow stuff. And we can say, yes, we have seen it. But we've also seen Pastor Carl and Susie. We've also seen other men of God and women of God. What are you looking for? You might be feeding out of the trash can also. And need to grow up and get deeper and know God and lose. And I'm saying it to, of course, the whole world. Of course. I'm saying it because I want it. I do. And I know you do. And that's why we love being here. Guys, even, you know, we kind of can see it. We see it. Loyalty, trust. Get beat up a little bit, chopped up, thrown around, tossed around, ignored. Kind of not, misunderstood, yes. But there's much to gain. Much to gain. By seeking the things that are above. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this week. It was awesome. We have been with people who have seen and heard and walked with you. We are honored to be in such a assembly to hear this great man of God and his wife in India. That builds us up so much. We thank you. And if anyone here has not started your journey yet, today's the day, and to say to Christ, I believe in you. Would all the believers here just be praying for this moment in the service that every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, people would come and hear and believe. Turn to Christ. Turn from their own cold, sinful ways. The hypocrisy of our heart. Bill, I forgive you, but if I get better, we're canceling the whole thing. Yes, Lord, we know that stuff. Yes, we know it, Lord. Yes, Lord, we know this stuff. We delight in you. If you're accepting Christ, just raise your hand. Anyone at all? Just raise your hand and say yes to Jesus. Anyone? Is there a hand? Yes, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Beautiful. In Jesus' name, amen.